your adversary the devil as a roaring lion, whom resist ye strong in faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It's all bad news, Father Cicada grumbled, coming in for breakfast on Thursday. Maybe he was missing Aunt Jemima already, and surely I'm thinking those Eskimo pie ice cream bars, but the name, don't you know, is derogatory, and that had to go. Well, I rejoined that Cardinal Schuster says about today's epistle I've just read to you that it was occasioned by Nero after the burning of Rome, using Christians as living torches to light up his parties in the Vatican Circus. Well, that's reassuring, said Father Cicada as he dug into his cereal. But Father's right. The news is mostly bad. And for the last few days, the Marxists and the Maoists of the Black Lives Matter movement, are going after the fathers, aren't they? Toppling their statues. The father of the nation in at least one city went George Washington into the dust. And then out west, New Mexico way, the conquistador Juan de Oñate, he was pulled down. And yesterday in San Francisco, the mob got the statue of the great father, Junipero Serra, the saintly Franciscan missionary and one of the founders of California, and even Christopher Columbus. He's got to go too, that great man, so brave and so holy, a hero if ever there were one. The fathers of our nation, like fathers and fatherhood, which they dismiss as patriarchy, already were dismissed a long time ago on the level of ideas and of thought and of teaching in the so-called institutions of higher learning and even in entertainment. Father Cicada used to say about the old seemingly innocuous television sitcoms of the 1960s, see how the father is always portrayed as a chump. Fatherhood has been torn down for a long time now and held up to ridicule. The government, of course, has done its part. The Supremes have weighed in yet again against God's natural law. And these latest laws, the Supreme Court declared, may very well one day shut us down. But the real cause of the crisis is cultural, not judicial legislations. The Christian civilization which Columbus and De Oñate and Father Junipero Serra brought to the savage shores of America is gone. It's too late now. We are fatherless. We have no leader capable of cogently explaining what on earth is going on and what we ought to do next. It's gone, and what a shame to say that in some sense it is the church which failed civilization. Some 50 years ago, unleashing the revolution of Vatican II, with the false holy fathers, as they're called, and the total obedience, well-meant but disastrous, of so many cardinals and bishops and priests and religious and faithful. The pillar which supported society, opposing as only the church could because the Protestants never could, opposing secularism and immorality, that pillar trembled and then shook and fell into the muck. And all of this in 5 years' time. They, the Novus Ordo people, have dared of late to make a saint out of the man who happily presided over it all, the monster Paul VI. As the English say, that takes the biscuit. Revolutions have often featured the destruction of images, the tearing down of statues, because anything opposed to new think cannot be tolerated. And we know the truth. Those who control the past control the future. The Protestant revolt then, the French Revolution, Vatican II, the communist or today's Marxist revolution, all of them featuring the destruction of images. We are now entering stage two of this long-planned destruction of our country and way of life, the imposition of the new one world order. We know it's the devil, this roaring lion who rages against God and against his anointed, his Christ and the church, the Christian order. His roaring makes you fearful. And some of ours were so fearful, they were not to be seen for a while, but that's all right. It's an understandable reaction. But then you've got to stop and look behind the screen and see the little man who's there operating it all, see the truth, which starts to set you free, the Holy Ghost gift of knowledge, warning you of the deceits of creatures. Now, next, how do you resist? In the old days, some 100 years ago, when the Ku Klux Klan came to a town bent on burning down Catholic churches and burning their crosses, the Jesuits at Regis University in Denver organized the college boys with bats to go out and to defend the Catholic Church. Somebody tried to defend the Oñate statue last week in Albuquerque, and he got beaten up with a skateboard for his pains, and then he was arrested when he used a gun to defend his own life. The charges were later dropped, but the government, of course, has removed the statue. Oh, the time may come when they come for us, and then it will be necessary to take prudent steps for self-defense. But our rule is to refuse the tactics of the revolution. I mean panic and fear and high emotions and rumor mongering and cowardice and surrender. No, no. Ours must be a virile virtue infused with Christian dignity. One of the last popes of Imperial Rome before that great city fell was Saint Leo the Great, and he famously preached, Agnoscio Christiane dignitatem tuam, acknowledge, O Christian, thy dignity. And I wish you would. We want fathers who are men, strong, self-possessed, calm, in control, not rambling narcissists. The same virile virtue the church sees and celebrates in holy women, in mothers. Enough of good, well-meaning people, much less priests, who spread rumors because the truth is bad enough and incite fear merely in order to reinforce control by the silly, useless psyops we've all seen, spoken about, the removing of holy water from the churches and the wiping down of pews and the paring down of numbers of those permitted to go to Mass, and that's the making of a trace list, if you think of it. The church keeps for the masters, and when they want it, it would have to be turned over. If this is your response at the first stage of Marxism, the one world revolution, what on earth will you do when when they come for you, bind you and douse you and set you alight for some Nero's party. Ever think of that? You should. Will you still be light then and salt? Your Catholic faith. St. Peter, who lived through that and did not cave, but wrote that we should be fortes in fide, strong, steadfast in faith. Courage, then. Suffering, St. Peter tells us, is inevitable. It has been a long time coming, this punishment. We knew it was on its way. Did ever the crimes of a dying civilization so cry out to heaven for chastisement? Let us then humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and be sober, not silly girls, watchful, not gossips or government mongers trying to please the government to get a bit of favor in exchange. Take each trial as it comes, uniting the mysteries of this life, and sometimes they are mysterious, with the mysteries of your rosaries, the sorrows of Mary, the suffering of Jesus, but always with an eye towards glory, which is waiting for you just on the other side. But now the church must relive in every age the sorrows as she represents on every day the death of the God-man on the altar, which is the greatest tragedy and the greatest blessing ever to occur in the history of the world. So, man up, fathers and sons, but mothers too, and yes, girls, strong in the faith, with the quiet dignity of truth, which will yet win souls and save your own. The ending of the epistle is so consoling. The same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. I have a revolution story to conclude, to confirm this in the dignity which is yours as a Christian. Feminine ferocity is frightening to men at times, but you never see it so unleashed as you do in a revolution. Do you remember the character of Madame Dufargue in Dickens' Tale of Two Cities? Never read the book? You should. All of our children growing up should know Dickens. That's part of Western civilization. Well, it was at the worst of times, the Terror, 1793 through 94, and there was a Parisian streetwalker who named herself Marianne, which was a symbolical name of the revolution. And she would delight every day in walking alongside of the condemned as they were led to public execution, the guillotine, showering insults until the end. Priests were her favorite. Nothing was too disgusting or too gross to be shouted at them. And the calmer these clergymen were, the more she raged. But in the Abbé Baclos, she met her match, a man of exceptional sanctity of life. He went to his death for that crime, being strong in the faith. "Let's see whether this one will answer me," she said, half out loud. And with clenched fist, she started to curse and to swear at him, screaming all the while. The priest turned towards her, and with a glance of childlike meekness, quietly said, "Madam, pray for me. I am about to die." "What's that? Who, me? Pray for you?" "Yes, spare one Hail Mary for my soul, so soon to appear before God." She stopped, flustered, flushed in her face, and then all the blood drained out. She turned pale. She fell silent. Obviously, she was struggling, troubled deeply, and finally, "Yes, I will say a Hail Mary for you." And she recited it aloud. "Je vous salue, Marie, pleine de grâce, le Seigneur est avec vous, vous êtes bénie," until the very end. And finishing, she collapsed in sobs at the foot of the guillotine on her knees. And no more was said. The bystanders knew not what to make of it, but she left that day converted, a changed woman. She adopted a life of hidden penance and prayer and almsgiving, and when it was legal again to be a Christian, she declared herself as such. One dignified answer, a request for prayer, the final words of a father going to die and yet stopping to save a daughter. This, I think, says everything for us for Father's Day. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.